This past week, 8 of our high school kids were part of a 22-person delegation from our presbytery to the Presbyterian Youth Triennium held at Purdue University. Together in unbelievable heat with about 4,500 of their now closest friends, they participated in worship, workshops, small groups, and mission projects. Triennium, as its name suggests, occurs every 3 years and is open to all kids who have completed 8th grade through 12th grade. Years of planning go into each event, and this year was no exception. The theme for the week was "Here's My Heart," taken from the final verse of our opening hymn this morning. They heard daily sermons from excellent preachers. They had the opportunity to learn more about different facets of our denomination, from More Like Presbyterians to Presbyterian Women to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and my personal favorite, APSE, which is the Association for Presbyterian Church Educators. You name it, there was a presence. They met youth from all over the country, sharing pins and hugs. In just a minute, I'm going to invite each of our participants to share a minute or two of something from their experience. I said at the early service this morning I had no idea what they were going to say. I've now heard what they had to say, and I know that it's very well worth listening to. I have sent quite a few groups off to Triennium over the years, and one thing always strikes me. Last night, a mere 16 hours ago, I watched them all get off the bus, and I knew instantly that they had been changed. You can see it in their faces. Strangers from other church last week are now close friends, sharing tearful goodbye hugs. One youth looked at me and said, "I don't want to be back here yet." And I just smiled because I knew exactly what he meant. So I'm going to stop talking, and I'm now going to let these people speak for themselves. We'll start with Michael.
Good morning. Spending this past week at Triennium has been an inspiring and uplifting experience. These 5 days consisted of tremendous sermons, small group and delegation discussions, overwhelming worship services, and lots of new friends. Every day we spent time with the small group to dive into that day's scripture. On Friday we read Matthew 14, the story of Peter and how he walked on water towards Jesus. As Peter walked, he got distracted by the wind and waves and began to sink. When Jesus saved him, he said, "You have so little faith." We began discussing the scripture and what Jesus said to Peter. After some thought, we concluded that having little faith is believing in something but doubting it simultaneously. After taking a minute to realize what this concept meant to all of us individually, our leader finished that day's meeting with a very powerful statement. Triennium is so valuable because it provides us with a community of faith, a mind-blowing number of youth who help each other grow in our beliefs while allowing us to forget about our fears and doubts. In that small group, not one of us came from the same state. In fact, we covered 28 out of the 50. Although we came from all around, from time to time, we all found ourselves doubting our own beliefs. But this community of faith helped me realize the importance of believing and, most importantly, remembering that I am not alone in my doubts and struggles. Another example of a faith community was found in a group from Chicago called Brave. Brave stands for Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere. Their panel at Triennium included a young girl who was shot in the head. She stated that during recovery, she was so angry because everyone had something to say, but no one felt the way she did. There was a time when she was so lost, she admitted to wishing pain upon others so she would no longer be alone. To put their pain and suffering in perspective, that panel had lost 2 people from their hometown within the 5 short days of being at Triennium. They concluded their presentation by talking about their own community of faith. Brave lifted each other up, gave one another a reason to fight against that violence in their city. They agreed that the cycle of violence would never end if they could not change the hearts and minds of their broken community. despite their constant struggles and losses. Together, they could remain faithful and cast away their doubts and fears. What my small group noted as a valuable part of Triennium is also what Brave expanded upon, the importance of having a community like Triennium to remind one another that you are not alone. And in order to make an impact, we must work together to build our faith.
Good morning. My name is Jackson Ward, and I would like to thank everyone for their help in having us go to Triennium. It was just such an amazing experience for me because I never realized how many people there were out there with, like, just within the Presbyterian Church. Just knowing that not everyone from our church was able to go, and that would apply to other churches too, so that means there would be even more than the 4,000 or 5,000 people that were there. What really struck me, though, was the diversity. There were people from all over America, Puerto Rico, a few people from Europe, Taiwan, Mexico, and other various countries. It was just an overall amazing experience with the very lively worships and lots of energy. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sean Wilson, and I'm excited to share with you all my amazing experience at the Presbyterian U Triennium. Prior to leaving, I had no clue what to expect. I had never been to this large of a youth conference while only knowing a few other participants, but that did not last very long. On the first day, I met so many people not only from our delegation, but from places all around the world, places like Puerto Rico, Guatemala, and Hungary. It was incredible to see how different each person was from the next, whether it was their culture, traditions, or age. However, throughout the week, everyone was brought together as one big community because of one simple reason, our faith in the Lord. Every day, over 4,500 people would gather in a music hall for worship. During worship, everyone would collectively sing songs of praise and thanks, which echoed throughout the theater. One of the songs that really intrigued me was Come Thou Fount, which was our opening hymn, written by Robert Robinson. The reason this song stuck out to me was not just because of the powerful lyrics, but also the story behind Robert Robinson. As a child, Robinson indulged in a life full of sin. He wandered aimlessly with no purpose until one day he decided to hear the Methodist preacher George Whitefield. Robinson left the church that day with a great amount of guilt along with dread. By the age of 20, Robinson became one with God and decided to become a Methodist preacher himself. In 1757, he wrote the hymn Come Thou Fount to express his joy in his newly found faith. However, after many years, his faith began to drift, and it wasn't until Robinson heard a lady humming his own song that he realized what he had become. After that night, Robinson recommitted his life back to Christ. You see, Robinson was lost, but God had found him and led him into a joyous and fulfilling life. I believe that it was no coincidence that the lady was humming Robinson's song that night. It was God's way of saying, "This is your purpose in life." The lesson I got from the story is what has impacted me the most from my time at Triennium. God will find you and guide you in times of stress and despair as long as you listen to him. My time at Triennium has been an eye-opening experience, and I would like to thank the Presbytery for giving me this opportunity.
Good morning. My name is Kevin Beer, and I had a lot of fun at Triennium. Over the past week, Triennium has been a great experience that has helped me identify myself and reassure my faith in God. When we first arrived on Tuesday, we were all strangers in a new place, and even though we were called into God's presence, we were still questioning what was going to happen over these next few days and how this week was going to turn out. On Wednesday, the story we focused on was the story of Zacchaeus. With this story, we learned that oftentimes we aren't the ones seeking God, and that God is the one actually seeking us. With this, we asked ourselves if we have been too unaware to notice that God is seeking us. On Thursday, we focused on the stories of being lost and found. For example, if one sheep is missing from the other 99 sheep in the flock, the shepherd focuses on that one sheep over the 99 sheep that still remain. Stories like these remind us that we often drift away from God and his kingdom. This made us identify the distractions present in our lives that can often make us wander from God. On Friday, we looked at the story of Peter and his doubt in Jesus until Peter was able to walk across the water. This story showed us that our lives can be transformed if we give our full commitment to God, which reassured our faith. And yesterday, we were asked to take action in the world before we left. Despite it being the end of Triennium, it was beginning of us to serve Christ out in the world by using what we learned over the week and, most importantly, love.
First of all, I would like to thank each and every one of you for helping us all go to Triennium this year. This morning, I will be talking about the Presbyterian Youth Triennium offering. On September 20th, 2017, Hurricane Maria hit hard on the island of Puerto Rico. The high Category 4 storm destroyed houses, farms, roads, and so much more. It severely impacted Guasio Presbyterian Camp and the surrounding communities in San Sebastian, Puerto Rico. After the storm, this camp became a resource for the surrounding neighborhoods in the weeks and months following Maria. They helped supply needs like water and ice to even psychologists' help for those dealing with the emotional trauma following the storm. Although it will take years to rebuild Guasio and the island of Puerto Rico, citizens there still see it as their heaven on earth. At Triennium, we had an entire delegation from Puerto Rico and many other countries, but specifically the people from Puerto Rico who could talk about how Guasio had changed their life in so many different ways and why it was so important to them. That's why the 2019 Presbyterian Youth Triennium offering is going to Guasio and to help rebuild their camp. This week, I'm pleased to say that we raised $26,213 for the rebuilding of Guasio. Thank you.
Almost 4 years ago, our youth group had gone to Triennium, and for anyone who is a senior this school year, they fortunately had the opportunity to do it again a second time. Because Triennium only occurs every couple of years, I was a part of those lucky few who also got to go a second time. I'm so thankful I did a second time, because I was welcomed again by friendly faces and open arms ready for the exciting, yet maybe a little frightening, couple of days ahead of us. One of my favorite things that we had the opportunity to do there were the interest groups, which was more of like free time, except you'd have like activities, games, or a project you could go do. We could work, my favorite project that we did there were like the prayers. So we had made like prayers that would get sent to other countries, and they were like encouraging words for other kids who are maybe going through like more of a difficult time. And we did a lot of other stuff like that, which is why I recommend anyone else who's like considering going to go, because it's really a blast. I had a fun time.
Good morning. My name is Libby Poole, and I'm one of the lucky few who got to attend Triennium twice. And both times, my personal favorite part of the experience were the daily worship services, where all 5,000 of us would pack into a giant auditorium, and they managed to keep our attention for 2 full hours, which is no small feat. Worship is really vital to what the Triennium experience is, and the rest of the time revolves around what we do during worship. The services were big, loud, colorful, unique, thought-provoking, challenging, and deeply relevant. There are lots of laughter, dancing, and lights, and fun, but it's not all for the sake of being flashy or keeping teenagers' attention and keeping them entertained. It always seemed to me like a genuine response to the amount of work that God can do when he gathers youth from all over the world to spend five days together. Each service was planned around a particular sub-theme and a focus scripture that points us to the week's overall theme, which, as you know now, was Here's My Heart, based on the hymn Come Thou Fount. And to me, this theme was an expression of the deep desire that I think grips young people these days to be a part of something bigger and more beautiful than our own hearts and our own lives. So as I went to reflect on all of the worship experiences, the sermon that stood out to me the most was Friday night sermon, which was delivered by Johan Daza, who is a Colombian-American pastor, and he used the personal story of his nephew, Mateo, to teach his lesson to us. Mateo was born with heart disease and required a heart transplant that happened fairly recently. And so he began by giving us a couple of science lessons, which I always enjoy, and he told us about how the organ donor for a heart transplant has to be a match in blood type and body size and many other factors. So it can be pretty rare to find a match. Mateo was also apparently very conflicted because he knew that another person had to give his or her own heart in order for Mateo to have a new heart, and it couldn't just be anyone. In the same way, we learned this week that only God's heart can match the hearts of all human beings, and only through God's sacrifice are we given a new heart that will not fail, like our old ones inevitably will. The new hearts that God gives us allow us to love and forgive those who, according to our standards, don't deserve it. But the second part of the science lesson that Johan taught us was that when an organ is transplanted, the natural reaction is to reject the foreign object, which would kill the recipient of the organ. So Mateo had to take something every day in order to weaken his own immune system, so that it wouldn't attack the new heart. The natural reaction of human beings is to reject God and to reject others who are different than us. It is necessary to first weaken our own systems and inclinations to be able to fully do the work that God has for us in this world, and that takes a lot of courage. I love this sermon and the overall theme, Here's My Heart, because it is a reminder that God says this to us every single day. He offers us his heart, and the real question is whether or not we will offer our hearts back to him and do the work he needs us to do in the world. Thank you.
So there you have it. Very powerful messages, all of them, in a time when they are needed more than ever. I will remind you that these are just small snippets of what was truly a life-changing week for these people. And I encourage you to seek them out either after worship today or another day in the future and ask them more about their experiences at Triennium. I have a feeling that they will be more than willing to share with you their experiences. As I've said before, these are not the future leaders of our church. They are leaders here and now, as are all of us together. And I have great hope knowing that we are in such very capable hands. Amen.